Releases from WikiLeaks about emails related to Clinton show she had contempt for the American people and also showed they were worried about one particular Republican candidate. Here's Chris Barnes.
Clinton staff saying Florida's Senator Marco Rubio reminded them of Barack Obama in 2008. One Clinton staffer saying Rubio's speech kicking off his White House run was more reasonable, populist, and accessible than the rest of the GOP field. The emails also showing Clinton's campaign expected Rubio or former Governor Jeb Bush to be the Republican nominee. Other emails in the batch show that the Hillary Clinton camp purposely distanced itself from New York City's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio after he was reluctant to endorse Clinton in April 2015. I'm Chris Barnes.
Kraft Heinz recalling over 900 pounds of Lunchables due to misbranding and undeclared allergens on the labels. The Food Safety and Inspection Service says Lunchables ham and American cracker stackers contain wheat and soy that's not on the label. More news online at usaradio.com.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN, that's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A group of protesters have been arrested after they chained themselves together inside a 42-inch gas pipe. Here's more on the story.
Protesters with a group called Spectra emerged late Monday night after chaining themselves together to protest plans to expand the Algonquin gas pipeline under the Hudson River. They began their sit-in in the morning, getting support from a number of locals, including cancer researcher Courtney Williams.
It's going to be pumping emissions into the air in measured in hundreds of tons.
Protesters called the pipeline, which is set to run from New York to Pennsylvania, dangerous and said it could cause an explosion near Indian Point. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
If you haven't yet registered to vote, you need to rush out to your post office or local county offices right now. Here's Chris Barnes.
Today is the deadline in at least 15 states and territories to register to vote in the November 8th presidential election. It's now just 4 weeks to the election, and the deadline has been extended beyond today in the state of Florida as well as South Carolina because of Hurricane Matthew. Georgia's deadline of today was not extended. North Carolina, which has also been hard hit by that hurricane, has a registration deadline of this Friday. States are free to put their own deadlines closer to Election Day, and many do. Some even allow for in-person registration on Election Day with certain restrictions. I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news and in-depth analysis, visit westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hi, it's Joe Peters, and I'm sitting here today with Victoria Davis. Say hello, Victoria.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Victoria wrote a book about Halloween. So I do one show on real estate matters, and I do one show on 55 plus, and this fits into neither one of them. But it's a very timely conversation. And I deal with Victoria with the chamber, and she and her mother and I wound up selling one of their family houses when her grandma had passed on. So I know Victoria from both a business viewpoint, and then we've done some business together. Just a fun person, almost a friend. We've just talked to each other from time to time. So we're going to get started in about 2 minutes, but first I'm going to go through a little bit of what's happening with a few commercial pages that are on, and including the weather, and I'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20. 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, or 55 Plus. I do one show one week and one show the other. Today we're going to go through a book that's been written about Halloween, which I thought was a really seasonal subject. They asked me to give you the weather, so I'm doing it in a very sophisticated fashion over my exploding Note 7, which hasn't exploded, but I'm kidding. It looks like what we're seeing is what we're getting. It's getting cooler at night. Last night was really pretty cool. It was into the 30s. Tonight's only going to go down to 43. It's going to be 66 tomorrow, 68 the following day, and then 71 on Thursday, 64 again on Friday, and then back into the 30s Friday night. It's going to be in the 40s the overnights. So we've got a little bit of rain coming our way on Thursday, and then it looks like it's sunny for the weekend. So glad to have you aboard. Let me play my commercial. You know who I'm about, so I don't have to talk about myself, and then we'll get started.
The college education. College education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm back with Victoria, and it's amazing what happens when you hit the right buttons. I was trying to play my commercial thinking it was 32, and it was number 23. And when you hit 32, nothing happens. So 32 commercial is for sale if anybody's interested, but 23 is what you just listened to. I'm Joe Peters with Weichert. I cover all of 100 in Somerset County. I try to help you make your dreams come true, your goals and dreams come true with real estate across those two areas. And I'm on today with Victoria. Victoria, and I have known each other now for about 2 years. She's got a brief bio, so I think I'll read that to you so that you know a little bit more about her. She's a local author. Victoria Ann Dyfus has released her first book called The 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween, and it's a trade paperback. Step-by-step guide offers illustrated directions on how to construct 10 affordable decorations that can be customized to suit individual tastes. Book also has free additional chapters that discuss design, lighting, and the haunt experience to help amateurs build the effective haunts in their own homes and yards. 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween is the product of years of study and practice. Ms. Davis began her career in 89 by holding a haunted house for at-risk youth. Over the course of the following decade, she would design and volunteer for charitable haunts, organizations that included the Prowlsville Mill, the Open Door, and the Hunterdon County Park System. In subsequent years, she has used her talents on yard and home haunting. Signed paperbacks of 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween are available at the Clinton Bookshop in Clinton, obviously, and the Book Garden in Frenchtown. Both are in paperback and ebook are available through Amazon. So all you got to do is go to Amazon.com, look up 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween, and you're going to find her. And recently retired from a 20-year stint at the community radio talk show as a show host, Victoria Ann Davis now dedicated to writing books to empower people that can create the confidence that they can create with confidence. I have a speech and peppermint today. Victoria is a proud resident of Hunterdon County, New Jersey, holds her own bookkeeping business called Have Agony Machine Will Travel, very clever name, and is a member of the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Her hobbies include gardening, cooking, podcasting, and all potential topics for future books. I guess those are all potential topics for future books. So I've watched Halloween grow over the last 20 years. When I was a kid, you got dressed up, you went out on Mischief Night a little bit, you went on Halloween, you got your candy, and by 2 days later, it was over. Now, it seems like it's a three-month event. I see people decorating their yards. I see stores of total decorations. I guess it fills a nice void because there's nothing before Thanksgiving, so, and then Christmas follows that. So it's one of those seasonal things, but it seems to get bigger and bigger every year. What do you think that is a reason for that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's something that we have generally have happy childhood memories about.
Yep.
So I think it starts there. I think that's probably the best marketing you can have is that feeling of happiness when you're a kid, and you can just continue that on throughout your life. So I think people want to actually re-experience or experience the holiday, continue to experience the holiday,
right,
as they move through the stages of their life.
Wow. I know. I lived in Sayreville, and Sayreville, before we moved to Hunterdon County 18 years ago, was just below the Amboys as you're starting to go down the shore. And I would see people with their yards must have $2,000 or $3,000 worth of Halloween stuff, more than you'd see for Christmas for a Christmas fanatic. And I'm saying, wow, they really need something to do. But they got into this.
Yeah.
And you would walk by, and the music would play, and you'd hear the spooks and the whatever. It's like, is that typical? Is that what we're seeing elsewhere?
You know, it happens. There's a lot of people who want to do it. That's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is so you don't have to invest thousands of dollars, although
right,
you could still do that. And if you read chapters 1, 12, and 13 and buy stuff at the store, you can still have a really memorable haunted scene for your yard or inside your home when you're having a Halloween party. I do think it is typical. We're seeing more and more things being made available to the public.
Right.
As I said, I mentioned that it was 1989 when I started building my first haunt. So at that point, you couldn't get animatronics. You could get, you know, a Halloween shop sold you costumes, and maybe there would be a toy
right,
store. So if you wanted to do something really nice, you kind of had to make it yourself, and that's how I learned. But
And in your book, you said, you know, the budget didn't allow to go out and spend what people are spending today. So it was sort of a homegrown thing. And the book gives a lot of illustrations about that. Let's dive right in. What is your favorite of the 10 cheap tricks?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, that's a difficult question. I obviously put the mummy right on the front cover.
Okay.
She's very photogenic, so I thought...
Yeah, mummy!
Yeah, that was a really pleasant experience. I mentioned in the book how I came to develop the mummy, and this is a different technique than the first mummy I ever made. But one of my early haunted houses, I think this was actually back in the 90s, I needed something to be impressive, and I was sitting around in a workplace, and I saw new computers had come in, and they had all these pieces of styrofoam that they were going to throw out.
Right.
I'm like, you know, that kind of looks like a torso, and those things look like legs. If we put them all together, and if we wrap them in bandages, that'll look like a mummy. And lo and behold, we create a mummy that way. And so I think the mummy has a special place in my heart because we end up taking this thing, that stuff that was meant for a dumpster, and turning right. into something that people were like, wow, that's amazing.
So what's the difference between a mummy and a mummy and a zombie?
Well, zombies have picked up a lot in our culture. People are really loving, you know, there's a lot of zombie movies, and it's just something that's grown and snowballed over the years. And now we have a whole bunch of zombie television shows.
Yep.
So a zombie is undead. A mummy could be just completely dead and on their mystical journey to the netherworld. A zombie is the undead, and they can actually grab you, and they're supposed to eat your brains, and
oh,
you know,
geez.
my zombies won't do that. They're vegans, but
politically correct zombies.
Yes, yes.
So zombies are undead, and mummies are dead, but moving through their experience.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so I learned something today.
Yes.
So how do you start with the zombie? I mean, what would you do first if you wanted to go out and make yourself a mummy?
If you want to make a mummy, I would recommend going down to hopefully your local hardware store if you're lucky enough to have one in your town. If not, a regular home center. There you would need to purchase a few things, mostly polystyrene insulation. And also you'd probably want to hit the fabric shop or the craft shop. You'd want to pick up some muslin and some cheesecloth. We have in here a technique for antiquing the skull, but I noticed at the craft shops this year they actually had skulls that were already antiqued and ready to go.
Wow.
And
a skull was a skull.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can have this is a polystyrene skull that you see on there on the front cover, and it was antiqued, painted with a gesso, and then there's an antiquing agent that's found in the paint section of your craft store or your large department store that has a craft section, usually in brown. And so we painted the eye wells black so they would just recede.
Okay.
And the same thing with the interior of the nose, and then just antiqued over it with this lovely brown kind of, it's like a watery brown stuff, and then you paint it on there and then you rub it off so that way you're just getting a little hint of the brown and it will be uneven and stuff like that. So it looks like an aged skull.
Interesting. So is a mummy an annual or perennial? Do you put them away and bring them back out? Or?
Well, in my house, it's Halloween every day.
Okay.
But
that's funny in itself.
Yeah.
So you actually keep all of this stuff and use it again then?
Definitely. Well, I try to work it into other holidays wherever possible. Sometimes, some of the hints I give in the book, like we talk about the eyes of the darkness, I said, you know, you could also create a starry sky effect with this, or you could actually make a sign of the zodiac and use it as a decoration for somebody's birthday
right.
if you wanted to, just that sort of a thing.
So if you were to look at your front yard and say, I want to get this ready for Halloween, how would you suggest you get started? I mean, you got grass and you want it to look like mummies and zombies and gravestones, and you show people how to make authentic looking gravestones in here, I see.
Yes.
How would you get, do you first do a map of what you're going to do? How do you get started?
The first thing to do is just to sit there and take a look at it, and maybe look at it, maybe you might want to even get out your camera phone or just an inexpensive camera and take a couple of pictures, you know, take a picture of the front of the house. Go stand out near, you know, safely at the edge of the street and see how people are going to view it.
Right.
And you might want to do that during the day and at night so you get an idea. I would look at like things that are already resident in your space. So if you have, I don't know, a very gothic looking home, you might want a very gothic looking haunt.
Okay.
You know, if you have a very modern home, you might want to go more towards like zombies and graveyards. Graveyards are pretty much the staple of everything. Lots of people love to run out and get those tombstones and stick them in the ground. And yeah, it's a really good thing. It's kind of works for everybody.
Do you find that anybody ever takes offense to this? Like somebody just died in the last year, and I don't think that's very funny. Or are people pretty good natured about it?
I think when it comes to Halloween, they're pretty good natured. Yeah.
Nobody means any malice by it.
Definitely not.
I know one of my favorite comics was Mama, and Mel Lazarus wrote Mama, and her tombstone says, "I told you I was sick." It's just, I said, that's good humor. I mean, it's really good humor right through death. And it wasn't that she died. He was the cartoonist, and he died. But all the other cartoon characters came out for it, so it was like a joint cartoon for that last Sunday they published. So you've got your front yard, backyard, side yard, whatever works for you, and you want to do this for people driving by or walking by?
It depends on your neighborhood. I like to consider both possibilities and think about, you know, somebody in a car might be moving more quickly. They have headlights on. You don't want them to, like, drive off the road when they see your amazing zombies. But
right.
But also think towards if you have a lot of trick-or-treaters, maybe something that's friendly that people can walk up to and look at and really spend time interacting with.
Okay.
So, again, it comes into what your needs specifically are. So, say you lived in a town where there's a lot of trick-or-treaters and you have a home that's right along the sidewalk, I would go more towards making something that's interactive. You want something that's going to be safe. Obviously, you don't want catching on fire. You're going to want something that people can touch but it won't break easily.
Right.
So, and if it's going to be outdoors, you're going to try and want to make it as waterproof as possible, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you call this a haunt. A haunt means?
A haunt could be any installation of objects that look scary or meant to be Halloween-oriented.
So it's a situation that you've created. So it's a creativity challenge.
Definitely.
Wow. And do they have, like Christmas lights, they have competition? Are there haunt competitions?
I believe there are. I think the city of Lambertville does one.
Okay.
Yeah, and some places there's just friendly competition, too.
Okay.
I know that Clinton is a town that's very big into that. I think there's Park Avenue here in Flemington for a couple of years was doing a really big thing. It felt like at least there was a Can You Top This vibe about it. And just doing really nice interactive experiences for the kids when they come trick-or-treating.
Now, some of it looks like if you went to the store and bought all of this, you could spend $1,000 or more.
You can truly spend quite a bit, although the prices have come down significantly. Back in the late 80s, early 90s when I got started, you'd go to a toy store and be like, wow, that thing in the window is beautiful. How much does it cost? Well, we got it at a toy show a decade ago, and it's pretty much priceless, so, you know, $1,200 or something like that. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. They had, I remember, a tombstone that would tip backwards, I think, and a hand would come out from underneath it.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And that was like maybe $250 was the price tag.
But you talk about making your own tombstones.
Yes.
Talk about how you do that. What do you have to think of before you touch anything?
Before you touch anything, you would probably want to think about how many tombstones you need and how much you can afford to invest, because these tombstones will be good for many years to come. So if you want to make three this year and three next year, I think I give you the dimensions of how much concrete it takes to make a tombstone. And I would, you know, I would conserve some packaging material, or if you need some polystyrene insulation, that would be part of it. That's kind of goes in the middle to make it a little bit lighter because, you know, concrete weighs quite a bit.
Sure.
But at least you'll use a little less. I would kind of think, I always recommend thinking towards theme. I mean, if it's a graveyard scene, is this a modern graveyard? Is it a Victorian graveyard? That does make a difference. If it's Victorian, maybe you want some kind of sayings on there, you know, or make things sound a little bit more Elizabethan or formal language. Whereas, you know, if it's a more modern graveyard, you might want silly things on your tombstones. Like you said that I told you I was sick one.
Yeah.
I kind of did a version of that for the book. The tombstone that I make in there says, "I told you so."
Okay.
I have a few family members, so I'm sure they would want that on their tombstone. So that's
That's funny. We all have I mean, we all come from different ethnicities. I know you're mostly Italian because
yes.
you told me about your grandfather having the first pizza oven in Hunterdon County. I'm mostly Polish, and Polish are very thick-headed people, in my family anyway. I mean, when they make their mind up, their mind's made up. It doesn't mean they're right. It's just made up. So I can look back and think about some of my deceased relatives and what I would have put on their tombstones, but maybe the family wouldn't have put the same thing. Everybody looks at death a little bit differently, but at Halloween, it's sort of just part of the experience. It's not to be taken as, oh, I shouldn't have done that. One of my relatives died 2 years ago. It's like, these are kids having fun. These are grown people having fun. And you're saying that I didn't read the thing in depth, but you showed pictures of how to do a mock-up for a gravestone and pour the stuff in. You're saying you actually put concrete in there.
Yes.
Styrofoam, something light in the middle, and then you put the tombstone away and bring it out again next year.
Absolutely. In fact, the tombstone that was made for this book, it's sitting on my front lawn right now. It's waiting for me to kind of erect it and erect the rest of the yard haunt around it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what is the season? I mean, do you typically do this like mid-month, October?
There are some people who start as soon as I think Labor Day is over for some people. I'm getting started. I usually try to look for a good period of weather.
Yep.
I might have started a little earlier, but there was the potential for the hurricane to swing up this way or,
right.
or at least throw a lot of water our way. So I wanted to wait for that to be over with.
Okay. So in a front yard haunt, you would have tombstones, you would have mummies.
Sure. If you there's a couple of potential narratives which mummies fit into. One is you could have an ancient Egyptian graveyard, and that
right.
would definitely have mummies. Or you could be building a mummy's tomb inside your on your front lawn instead of just a graveyard. Or you could have, hey, you know, this is the graveyard family plot of this millionaire, and this millionaire actually imported mummies from Egypt.
Wow.
Because there's a thing during the Victorian era where people would actually purchase mummies and have them in their homes, which is a little bizarre. But
yeah, a little bit.
A little strange.
There's really a person there at one point in time.
Yes.
But I see people with skulls on their desk. It's like, okay, that was really a person there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like a little, where were we? We were in Paris, and they used to bury the people above ground, and they ran out of room. So they decided to put the people in the catacombs, and that's where you see all those pictures of the skulls stacked up and whatever. And it was just beyond me that they were doing this. It's like, you know, we're used to burying people here. You grow up based on what your family does. Some people do cremation, some people do burial, some people bury at sea. But they were just storing the bodies in great big, I don't know, what would you call them?
It's like caves with shelves in them,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And they told us the whole story, because as you walk through Paris, apparently there were Roman baths and whatever there, and it was occupied by the Romans at one point in time. I guess different cultures had different beliefs on how burial should be done. But you look at, when you see the movies, I don't know how much is true when you watch a movie, but you watch these burials, and like I'm into the Game of Thrones. I'm still about 2 years from the end of it. I'm trying to catch up. You know, I do about two or three a week. And it's always a funeral pyre when somebody dies. Sometimes they don't even die. They just burn them alive. You know, it's like, I think the thing that always catches my imagination when I watch a program like that, it was so little regard for life. Life was to be taken, not to be cherished. So there's lots and lots and lots of tradition. But you go out a couple of weeks ahead of time. You scope out the property. You start when the weather is good, and you're not expecting a hurricane to come up the storm up the coast. And you build this. Do you typically need help? Of course, buying your book wouldn't hurt, because there's a lot of good tips in there. So
yeah, the book, well, I can put a shameless plug in and say that the book will definitely help you. I actually, in chapter 12 and 13, I actually discuss how you would actually go about setting up, and I actually walk you through me setting up a scene and lighting it. And then I also, in the first chapter, actually talk about the haunting experience and what makes a good haunt. And how it is really the craft of storytelling, basically. And I
right.
begin the book by telling a scary story.
Okay. And I would think that's where it all starts, because you're not just going to do something and not have a story to go with it. It's probably built around a story that's in your mind or you want to portray.
I think the best and most memorable haunts certainly can just go over to the dollar store and get a couple of polystyrene tombstones and stick them in your yard and shine a light on them and be done. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's right. Your level of participation, that's great. That's just as long as it's meaningful to you. But yes, to create a memorable haunt, in my mind, it is the telling of a story, and you're telling it with objects. You might be telling it with a costumed person. You might actually be there telling a story, or just taking a familiar ghost story and actually exploring all the things that are important to that story.
Interesting. Do you find there's any mischief about Halloween haunts that have been built? I mean, people come along and vandalize them or steal from them? Or?
I have seen that, unfortunately, and even in our local area. A haunt that no longer is erected, probably because I think his children grew up.
Yeah.
They had issues with people would take things, people would break things, and that was unfortunate because you could see it was obviously a lot of work what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually when the kids don't grow up you get the really exciting things, even Christmas. It's like, I remember my kid said to me, when did you know what you wanted to be? I said, I still don't. You know, it's like, well, did you have to grow up? I didn't do it. I mean, growing up around Halloween or Christmas, it's the same thing. I think the more creative, and it seems to me that, and I could be wrong, and I don't mean this to be a biased comment, but it seems to me that most of it is done by mothers who are trying to help the kids have the Halloween experience. I don't see the fathers doing it. But I see some really elaborate, if you go down the end of, I live in Beaverbrook, so if you take the road that goes down the hill out of Beaverbrook towards mm-hmm. Clinton, the last house on the right, and I guess it's On Country Club, it is elaborate what they have out in their front yard.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I remember a number of years ago when my sister was buying her home in the area, and I remember us coming around the corner, it was October, and seeing just how he had a bunch of mummies at that time. He had like a whole family of mummies lining the walkway into the house. And I'm going, wow, this is my kind of neighborhood. All right.
I can fit in here. I want to move. And, you know, you see people do the same thing with Christmas. You know, it's like some people are more into it than others. I've always, you know, sometimes at Christmas I say, why don't you just give it to charity? A little bit of lights is nice, but the being gaudy is like beyond. I saw one two Christmases ago, and I haven't seen it again, but Santa's eyes followed you as you drove by. It's like, how did they do that? And somebody says, no, it's like a hologram that's in the computer, and they have to put a special screen up, and Santa, his eyes aren't really following you. You're seeing them from different angles.
Wow.
We're getting more and more with the computerization of things and the automation of things. And I would think the same thing happens here. You hear the laughs and you see things standing up and puffing up and whatever. What about electricity outside in the rain? That's got to be a consideration too.
Yeah, I do talk a little bit about safety in my book. I don't dress it in a great deal of detail because you can go to, I think, there's various government websites that will tell you how to manage safely, but the big thing is to utilize power cords and timers and lighting that is meant to be used outdoors.
Outside, right.
Yeah.
I guess that makes a big difference no matter what you're doing, is to know what you're doing. You probably don't want to run a bunch of extension cords out of the house to there. You need things, including a GFI or GFCI, so that it could pop off if it ever shorts out, so that nobody's going to get hurt on it. Big, big consideration, and we're not here to talk about. We're here to talk more about the experience. I'm going to go back and play a few commercials, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
So once again, it's Joe Peters with our local author, Victoria Davis, Victoria Ann Davis. It fits so nicely together, I can't leave the Ann out. And we're discussing her book that is a very timely book, 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween. And we've talked about some of the highlights of it. Actually has about 13 chapters in it. So what we're going to try to do is spend a minute or two per chapter and just let you know what's in there so you can hopefully go to Amazon and pick it up, or it's available at the Clinton Bookstore and whatever bookstore.
And the Book Garden in Frenchtown
book
as well.
Book Garden in Frenchtown. And Victoria lives in the Frenchtown area, so it's just neat to have somebody on that's written her own book. A couple of months ago we had fellow on that was 76 and wrote his first book. We actually had him on twice because it was so much content it took two shows to cover. And this is sort of the same thing. It's just neat to find. I've read an article that says everybody has a book in them. I'm not sure what my book is, but Victoria had one in her, and this is it, the 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween. So chapter one, Elements of Haunting. We talked a little about it. What else did we miss that's in that chapter?
Well, yeah, we talked about how it begins with a story and how it kind of becomes about how haunting really is about telling a story in one way or another. And I talk a little bit about, I cover ways that kind of give haunting its depth. One of the things I talk about is utilizing all of the senses and not being hemmed in by one particular lighting scheme, although there's been some very cool all black light installations that are out there, but not being hemmed into just one type of lighting, or some people just, you know, hang up a ghost and then turn out the lights. And yeah, that technically that counts as a haunt.
Yeah.
But you can make that experience, even if it's just one, you know, sheet ghost hanging up, you can make that more of an experience just by adding different elements, stimulating the senses, maybe having a nice spooky soundtrack in the background.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, going to the herbal store and getting like a scent, a mysterious smelling scent, you know, that you can safely utilize.
And, wow.
Yeah. And what? Maybe using some interesting cross lighting. So we kind of talk a little bit about that and what makes a haunt effective, really.
And then you go on to black light painting. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is a really favorite trick of mine. It's actually kind of a stagecraft thing. I had read some articles about actually creating depth with different colors and 3D painting, which is a whole other situation. But this is great, is you can create, you can paint something that will evolve as the lighting changes. So you might have an innocuous-looking painting hanging on your wall, and then at night comes and you turn on a black light over top of it, it turns into a different painting.
Wow.
Which this design does. And we actually walk you through. There's actually a downloadable file at my website, 10cheaptricks.com, that you can actually download this PDF, print it out, and the book talks about how you transfer that design to a piece of foam core, or you could use a canvas, a prepared canvas, if you wanted to. But basically, you create this painting that that will evolve, that will change as you change the lighting around it.
Wow. And does it have one of those the eyes follow you kind of thing? Or?
The eyes don't follow you, but there is some things that aren't obvious when you look at it. Yeah,
interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. Then you go on about the eyes in the darkness, which is really the same thing we were just talking about, I guess. As you get to the black light, some of the recessed things look a lot different, I take it.
Yeah, this is an old stagecraft technique. I've actually saw it used in Philadelphia at, I think it was a production of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. They actually had a starry sky, and all they did is they took a big piece of felt, and they had somebody sew Christmas lights to the back of it. And then they plugged it in, and boom, you have a starry sky. This, I decided to modify it a bit, and I actually doubled up some of the lights, and I kind of walk you through how to make this very inexpensively. You get a yard, it comes in a package at the craft store, a yard of black felt, and you make a little casing, and you get a little springy curtain rod to hold it, and then you sew Christmas lights to the back of it.
Wow. So a local craft store would be like a Michaels or...
Yeah. I always encourage people to go to something that's locally owned. For example, the Washington One Stop would be a good place in Huntington County.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Michaels will work. Joann's, if you live near Joann's, that will work too.
Wow. And it's almost as creative as you want to be and as big as your budget wants to be.
So, exactly.
But your impetus here is to keep the money spent down, just let the creative juices run and do it as least expensive as possible. Because money doesn't really make it better, it's creativity.
That's true. And I think I discuss a little bit of that in the introduction. Somebody could go out to the Halloween store and spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000. They could buy every animated prop and scary thing in there. And if you just threw it in a pile in your front yard, it's not going to scare anybody. It's just going to look poor. But you could, you know, even if you go there and buy one animated prop that you think is beautiful and really speaks to you, and then you put it out, you utilize it in a safe manner, whether it be in your front yard or in your front door, and you light it properly, and you add a nice soundtrack to it, a meaningful soundtrack to it. And maybe, again, utilizing a scent that you got from the health food store or, you know, something that you can, again, use safely. Or, you know, maybe the consumer products aisle of the supermarket with the scented things. Maybe something that makes sense there. You don't know. Just something that you, again, being safe because it's nothing's fun if, you know, you end up in the emergency room.
And as creative as possible. I'm sure some of the stuff can come from Home Depot. Some of the stuff can come a craft store. Some can come from your local. Some of it you probably got in your basement. But do you know the thing that's in the back of my mind? I'm sitting here thinking, I always think of Christmas as you put all the stuff away. Every year you throw two old ones out and bring two or three new ones in and you bring it out again.
Exactly.
I never thought about that for Halloween, but Halloween's the same way. Like our next subject is building tombstones. You said, you know, build two or three a year. Pretty soon you'll have a dozen. And if you build them right and store them correctly, you don't have to start from scratch every year. So you can make the experience grow with time.
That's true. And I actually give you the storage information with each one of these props. I tell you how to store it.
That's amazing. And this, once again, this book, 10 Cheap Tricks to Haunt Your Halloween, Amazon or at your local bookstore, or go to 10 Cheap Tricks. What is the site?
10cheaptricks.com, and it shows you all the myriad ways to get it. I should put links to the bookstores themselves on the page, but yes.
Very good. So don't bug me, please. No, it's bug me, please.
Yes.
What is bug me, please, all about?
You know, that was one of the last-minute additions to the book. We actually bounced a different chapter about body forms. And because I was sitting there on the couch trying to work out this body form, I wanted to make it a light-as-air body form, and I started stuffing it with balloons, these tights with balloons. I'm like, this looks terrible as a body. And my sister goes, oh, are you making a bug? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so. It.
That's funny.
So I was able to develop that. And I developed three different bugs in there, although basically I tell you how you might go about customizing, because each one of these chapters talks about customization as well.
Right.
Because, again, you go to the Halloween store and you might buy the zombie popping out of the incinerator, and your neighbor might also buy the zombie popping out right. of the incinerator. Now, here you can adjust this a little bit so you don't all have the same mummy or the same zombie or the same bug.
That's neat. That's neat. So bugs to Halloween are sort of like the bugs crawl in, the bugs crawl out kind of bugs. They're like centipedes. They're long.
Yeah.
Anything you want to be, I guess. But
you could make a variety of bugs. I discuss how you might arrive at that, but I actually give directions for three different ones.
Okay.
I have a centipede, I have an ant, and I have, of course, a spider.
Wow. Yeah, spiders are big. This house I'm thinking about in Clinton has spiders all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And the spider webs, and it's like, how do they do that? it's like, don't they work? it looks like somebody's been out here for hours and weeks to make this thing come true. And floater. I thought floater was something you got in your eye. What's a floater?
That does happen too, but this is you wouldn't want this one in your eye because he'd be a little bit large.
Okay.
This is just a crazy idea I came up with. I was looking at foam noodles, these old ratty foam noodles at the pool, the public pool that I'm a member of, and thinking, wouldn't that be great if you just put some clothing on them? And it's a little bit more detailed than that. But yes, basically, it's just a great thing to have floating in your swimming pool if you have one, or you could throw it in a pond if you have one, or you can throw it in your bathtub and scare the heck out of your party guests. If
that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. I did see some pictures of examples of that in your book. So a floater is one of those. The started with the noodle. What do you call them? Noodles?
Sometimes they're called foam noodles or pool noodles, which is hard to pronounce.
I know what they are. I just didn't know they had a name. A noodle.
Yeah.
Using your noodle.
Yeah.
Using your noodle. Then we get down to tomato cage witch. Oh, so you're using a tomato like a plant cage.
Yes, yeah, there's little conical cages that you put around your tomatoes to hold them up properly.
Right.
And you usually get a few at the end of the season. They're kind of bent up or, beat up, and this is a great way to utilize them, and you can replace them next season. It's just a wonderful creative space. Originally, unfortunately, I ran out of both time and some money to build, because I had to build all 10 of these things myself. I wanted to include some more pictures of ones that were made to look like wizards and some other things, too. But it's just a wonderful creative space. And the tomato cage, which is something you can do in an afternoon.
All right. And it's like a crendelin kind of thing. It's the big parts on the bottom and the little parts on the top. And yeah, that's neat. I can see that working.
Yeah, you've got that conical top, so it just really lends itself to a witch hat being placed on top of it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So where do witches play into Halloween? I mean, but we've all known witches and, the Wizard of Oz and whatever. And then I missed the generational thing because I went to see the show that's on Broadway, and I just didn't get it, and everybody else was. And I'm saying, did I have a bad day? What is that called?
Wicked.
Wicked. I mean, it's like where the people from The Wizard came from, I guess, is what the show was all about. But where do witches fit in? I mean, are witches around other than Halloween?
I guess probably, maybe. There's always the kitchen witch, which is meant to be something that you hang up in your kitchen. It brings you luck. It probably plays into originally the holiday. Halloween's evolution included a druidic tradition called, I think it's Shawain is how it's pronounced. I might be pronouncing that a little wrong. And that was actually, the druidic tradition also gives us the women who were called witches, and that's a lengthy history lesson, but they kind of work into that. I think people start to think of Salem, and I don't know how we got women riding around on brooms
right.
And being scary as a thing, but that's certainly something that's come into the tradition, and they kind of work in. They fit with Halloween. Some people see them as women's empowerment. Some people see them as just good fun. And
yeah, and there are male witches, and they're called?
Those are often referred to as warlocks.
Warlocks, that's right. I remember from Samantha, whatever that was. Bewitched, I guess.
Yeah.
Warlocks. So a male, female witch is a harlock, or what was
it? I guess. There you go.
Warlocks. Yeah. Interesting. Then we got Mummy Ma. What is Mummy Ma about?
Oh, Mummy Mia. Yeah,
Mummy
I wanted to
Mia.
Come up with some
okay,
flippant names for these. Mummy Mia.
I can't
Mia.
Read my own handwriting here.
So instead of Mama Mia, Mummy Mia.
Mummy Mia.
Yeah. But that would be a mummy. And again, it's a very reasonably simple thing, probably working on it because there's a couple of stages to the process. So you might want to consider like making that a week ahead of time or 2 weeks ahead of time and just doing a little bit each day on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
So one of those evolving projects. I know even when I'm doing a presentation, I'll do so much and I'll put it – and I'll think about it for a day and go back and have a whole bunch of tweaking and turning. So that's probably what this is like. It grows with that subliminal thinking that keeps going.
That's true.
Hands down, thumbs up. That sounds painful. What is that all about?
That is a pair of hands that you can sculpt yourself.
Okay.
And you would think you'd have to be a master sculptor to make a decent pair of hands.
Right.
But it turns out, no, I have a step-by-step instructions on how to do that. It involves wire. I use paper clay in the book, although this could actually adapt itself to different forms of clay. And even I was considering that the possibility that modeling chocolate could be applied to these armatures as well. So
wow.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the hands once they're made? They go in the end of the mummy or?
You could put them on the mummy. That's one of the possibilities. When we talk about customizing it, you could actually replace the forearm and the hands with these hands, more in the sense, well, of scarier mummy or perhaps a Peruvian mummy. You can also, we actually attach them to the zombie that we'll talk about in the next chapter.
Okay.
But we also, you could just use them as hands in general.
Wow.
You could, yeah.
It doesn't have to be attached, just there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in the book we show them playing cards, so.
Interesting. I can just see that.
Yeah.
So the next one is Joe Mummy. I thought that was Joe Zombie.
Joe Zombie.
Talk about Joe Zombie.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun. A number of years ago I wanted to do a zombie theme on my front yard. And there was actually a band that has a song called All You Zombies. So I wanted to kind of recreate the band. I couldn't recreate the entire band, but I create a couple of them. And they are basically mixed media sculptures. They start with a blow molded skeleton. We see some lovely skeletons out right now that are, they're hard plastic and they're all weather and they're posable. Those are beautiful, but this is a much less expensive type of skeleton that used to flood the stores at Halloween, but you should still be able to find them, usually in the back of the Halloween store, maybe at your department store or online. And you just basically build up the head and the head with things like masking tape and marine putty, because marine putty is basically a clay that dries very quickly in a lot of ways. So
and it's good for outdoors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Troubled Waters. What's Troubled Waters? That's chapter 11.
That was a last-minute addition to the book, too. We nixed another chapter just because for the sake of time. And also, you know, we wanted something that more things – I wanted more balance with this, things that you could create quickly. And this is something you could create in an afternoon, possibly right before your Halloween party.
Yep.
Basically, it is a fountain that glows in the dark.
That sounds neat.
Yeah.
And can you have fish in a fountain kind of thing?
Not this particular fountain.
No.
In fact, we caution you against using it with aquatic life. But
okay. If they're floating, they'd be not swimming. They'd be floating is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you.
So I'm suggesting that you get some glow-in-the-dark eyeballs to float in there or make a shark fin for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So designing your haunt, we talked a little about. There's a whole chapter on that. The next one is anything we missed in that chapter you'd like to highlight?
I talk a lot about theme and exploring the theme, and I even give the exercise. And I'll give this as an exercise for people listening today. Is when you're thinking about theme, write down an idea and then write down all the things they're about. So say, I want a graveyard. Okay, what are things that I associate with a graveyard? I associate tombstones. I associate a hearse. I maybe think of an undertaker or grave digger. Right. Zombies, ghosts, flowers, and just anything. And don't forget to think of, you know, what kind of sounds would you have? Maybe like a shovel digging or, you know, banging, you know, somebody clanging on a tomb or something like that. And you might also think of, you know, again, what kind of smells, like a nice floral smell. Right. You know, you could just take a, get one of those air fresheners and put that out there, and you have a nice floral smell because there was a funeral here. And maybe think of piles of dirt and freshly dug graves. So
interesting.
Yeah, just sit down, and if you got an idea, like, oh, I love birds, so what kind of Halloween birds can I talk about? You know, Hitchcock birds or something like that, you know.
Yep. And everybody's got their own connotation of what Halloween is and what they remember from being scared from different movies.
Yeah.
Bring it all back. Put it into your creativity. And then lighting. I mean, we talked about being safe with the electricity, but I guess there are lights built for outdoors. A lot of those low voltage lights that you couldn't get a shock if you wanted to from. You just can't overload the transformer with too many lights on it.
Absolutely, yeah. You always want to be safe and with that, again, not overloading it. We give some safety tips, the basics of it. But also I talk about the different types of lighting and what kind of effect that they cause and how to play with those effects. And we talk a little bit about cross lighting and removing shadows or creating shadows as you might actually want in certain cases.
That's neat, too.
Yeah.
What about things that spin? I guess you can do anything you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so many great I didn't really talk about those particular ones, but I do go through the buffet of lighting that is there. You should be able to find it at Home Depot, the local party store, the Spencer's, wherever.
Good.
Yeah, lots of great things. I mean, there's these self-contained disco balls now. It's like a prismic ball. I mean, that's just wonderful.
That sounds it. It sounds it. So we've been talking with Victoria Ann Davis, a local resident of Frenchtown, New Jersey, and former radio host show herself with, what was the channel you were on?
WDVR in Surgeonsville.
Does that still operate? Or?
I believe it does, yes.
It does, okay. And Victoria and I have met and worked on several projects over the years, including selling her grandmother's house. So I've met most of the members of her family, and she's just a charm to work with. If you'd like to know more about this subject matter, 10cheaptricks.com. You can actually probably drop her a note from that site if you've got a question. But it also goes through where to shop, and it also goes through a little bit of Victoria's background. It also goes through a lot more than we talked about here today. But what we'd really like you to do is go on to Amazon.com or to the two bookstores that we mentioned. One was the Clinton Bookshop. The other was
Book Garden in Frenchtown.
Book Garden in Frenchtown. And buy a copy. What does it cost to go in and buy a copy?
Oh, to buy a copy at the signed copies that are available at the bookstores are, I think they're $18.95.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're a little bit cheaper on Amazon because they're not signed, but they get printed when you order them. So
okay, so it's a downloadable thing. You don't have to wait for it.
It'll come in the mail in a couple of days.
Okay.
The trade paperback. You can also purchase it as a ebook and have it right away.
That's what I was thinking of, I guess.
Yeah, and there's actually the Matchbook program, which is part of Amazon, where you can actually buy the hard copy, the paperback book, I should say, but you can also download it right away as well. So you get to.
Oh, great, yeah. Great. I really appreciate you coming on. We learned a lot about some of the things you can do to create a haunt. I didn't even know what that word was before I sat down here 45 minutes ago. And we talked about ways you could buy the book, Amazon or the local bookstores. We talked about 10cheaptricks.com, which is a way that you can find out more online. And we talked about it's the 10th or 11th, so there's a lot of times left. There's almost 3 weeks left to Halloween. What day of the week is Halloween this year?
It is on a Monday night.
On a Monday night.
So you can celebrate all weekend long.
Oh, isn't that neat? And just culminate on Monday. Mm-hmm. It's like the 12 days of Christmas, the 3 days of Halloween. It seems like it goes on forever and forever. I know I was always in retail automation, and one of our accounts was Spencer Gifts, and they had a whole Halloween section. And so when it got shut down, you know, when the day after Halloween, it became Thanksgiving section. It was just the seasonal section of the store. So I appreciate you coming on. I encourage our listeners to tune in to the book by buying a copy or downloading a copy and going to 10cheaptricks.com and learning a little bit more about the experience. My name is Joe Peters. This has been Victoria Ann Davis, and you can reach her through 10cheaptricks.com. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to play my commercial one more time so you know who I am and how you can get a hold of me. And before that, we have one last paid commercial. I thank you for tuning in.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand